If you have a situation in your life, you've been praying and nothing seems to be happening, just slip your hand up. Now tell me what it is. What's going on? Okay. You people understand that. And how many of you have thought, I'm being tested? Good. Okay. All right. And how many of you have been, you may have to answer this, tempted to feel sorry for yourself? Oh, yeah. These are all, there's no temptation that's not common unto man. That's the whole cycle. And so, in Hebrews, it says that we are to lay aside all sin that so easily besets us and run the race with patience, or really patient endurance. So what I want you to think of is, if you're praying and you have a real need, something you're desiring God to do, and you don't see anything happen, say to yourself, this is a wonderful time. Okay? Because this is seeing that which is unseen. If we're going to see that which is unseen and believe for things that have not yet come to pass, then we have to have those periods of time where we see nothing. Come on, trust me. I'll be there for you. And rejoice and give glory to God. It'll do at least two things. It'll speed up the answer to your prayers, number one. It will. How long does it take to get from Egypt to Israel? Walking. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. How long did it take them? 40 years. Did they patiently trust God during those 40 years? What's the answer? No, it delayed the answer. It delayed it greatly. Matter of fact, that they were almost ready to go in, and then God sent them back. You're not ready yet to go. So we have a, I don't know. Things are healthy now in the church, but if you're like Pastor Moore and I, we want more, right? Amen. Yes. There's more healings, more miracles, more converts, more disciples, and even more joy. And just to believe God for a host of things, and then think of it that way. Nothing's happening now. What an exciting time. This is the time that God's appointed for me to trust Him by faith. And you know, there is the thing in the Bible called the law of faith. It produces something, produces many things beyond what we can imagine. Oh, Father, that all of us, as we get into the daily routine of life, the normal trials that come our way, and see sometimes even abnormal trials, that we would just thank you when we can't see what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Handel, for filling in so quickly. I really appreciate that. And sometimes I wish you'd speak a little bit longer, so I'm not sure exactly where this message is going to go tonight. It might be one of those famous 8-minute messages that everybody's starting to think of me about, but we'll see what happens. So Father, I just ask, I don't know how to communicate this, so I just ask right now, I just yield myself to you, Father, and just, whether this is a half-hour message or an 8-minute one, I just ask that you would communicate your heart through me and all your words and all your thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. And I apologize for not being a little bit more dressy here. I had a nice white shirt and a nice, beautiful teal tie that I was going to match with these nice pants beautifully. And I take off this shirt, and I find out I got a T-shirt on that's got this big red and black logo, and the little white shirt didn't cover it up. And it's like, all right, well, so much for that. So anyway, I see Pastor Handel laughing over there. Anyway, what am I going to do? So, but I remember Pastor Stevens one time saying, when you bring the word of God, you should have a suit and tie on. And I tried, Pastor, but it didn't quite work out. Okay. I remember that, you know, it was interesting that Pastor Handel brought up about, we want to see more miracles. You know, we want to see more power here. We want to see more everything. And that's interesting because the first part of this message is about that. And hopefully the second part of it will be why. I don't know why. I guess I was reading a book by Hal Lindsey about the world that's coming. And he references Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And it talks about where John was receiving the revelation. And it says very simply that John, he said, I was in the Spirit. And that word was seems to be fairly innocuous. I mean, what does was mean? You know, was means was. And it's interesting, if you look into that word, and the word in the Greek is ginohomahi or something like that. It's a word that it actually means he wasn't just in the Spirit, because, you know, we're all told to walk in the Spirit, to put on the Spirit. But this means that I became in the Spirit. It was like you. It's a word from generate. It's like a generating word. I don't even know how to describe it. But he didn't. He became in the Spirit, and it was very interesting because when that happened, it's like there was a total domination that was very unusual by the Spirit of God. I mean, you know, we are to be controlled by the Spirit of God. But this was even more, took it up to the next level. It was a total domination of it. So that it was like every fiber of his being, every atom in his body was literally translating. It was just all God. There just wasn't anything more of him. And I was reading this passage from Watchman Nee, and it's really interesting. Because this is exactly how God wants the end time church to be. And I just want to say, I really believe this from all of my heart, that this is what's going to happen. You know, there's been so many messages here lately about healing. There's been so many messages here about, you know, I remember last time when I was up here, I got this very clear message from God. He said, tell them not to be afraid of the miraculous. Tell them not to be afraid of letting God make you great. And the reason was for it because that the world would know that Jesus really is who he says he is, that he does love us and them as much as he says he does in the Bible. And it just seemed like there's one message after another now about the power of God, the miracles of God, that this is what we're to embrace. And I really believe with all my heart that this is the way each and every single one of us is going to be in this end time move. That every single one of us is not only going to just walk in the Spirit, but we are going to become in the Spirit. That literally we are going to be so dominated by the Holy Spirit that our translation, and I love the way Hal Lindsey said that our translation, if you will, of Jesus Christ will be infallible. Because when John wrote the Revelation, every word that God spoke to him was written down specifically, and every heartbeat behind it was written down specifically and exactly in a way that was very unusual. And if you look in like 2 Peter, I think it's 1:21, where it says that men of God were borne along by the Holy Spirit to write the Scriptures. When they wrote the Scriptures, they wrote specific words from God with a specific heartbeat behind it. There was a very unique communication. There was a very unique domination, and their translation was infallible. And that's really, and I want to read you something from Watchman Nee here. This is out of the book, The Release of the Spirit. And he says, the Lord Jesus never restricted God in any way. And that's one of the other themes about Psalm 78, verse 41. We know that Israel limited the people of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God because of their unbelief, because of their disobedience. And this is and Jesus never did that. He said Jesus never restricted God in any way. For nearly 2,000 years, God has been working in the church, ever pressing towards a day when the church will no longer restrict him. As Christ fully manifested God, so likewise shall his church. Step by step, God is instructing and dealing with his children. Again and again, we sense his hand upon us. And so shall it be unto the day when it arrives, when the church is indeed the full manifestation of God. And then it gives a prayer of repentance because, like you said, we haven't really done that as a body of church. We're very divided right now. And it then says, if we expect the effectiveness of the gospel to be fully recovered, our consecration must be thorough. We must consecrate ourselves to God even like those in the early church. May God have an outlet through us. And that seems like to be too hard to do, but with the domination of the Holy Spirit, that complete. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, we talked about this before, about God wants to so break our outward man, so break our flesh, that there is nothing but the pure Holy Spirit coming through us. Because when we approach people spirit to spirit, that's what's that love, you know, God is love. It's a pure love. That love is what's going to make the difference. And, you know, I hope there's this hunger in you, because to be able to translate Jesus Christ that infallibly. I remember when I first started out in my walk, I remember I used to think, God, it would be so neat if I could walk down the street with the Lord Jesus and have a conversation with somebody for a half an hour. And then afterwards, somebody could ask him, well, which one was Mark and which one was Jesus? And I wanted so badly for him to be able to say, you know, I don't know. And I know maybe for your ladies, you can't quite, you know, fathom that, because that's, you know, we're going to know the difference. But I mean, in principle, that when someone talks to us, that it's pure Jesus coming through. And that sounds like that's impossible to do, but not according to that scripture. And I really, really believe, like he said, that that time is coming in the church very, very soon, when we are just all going to be becoming in the Spirit. And then, you know, like it says in Psalm 133, when the brethren dwell together in unity, how pleasant that is, and God commands a blessing, life forevermore. I really believe that time is coming, because that's what Jesus did. He just really, in a sense, that's all, in a sense, quote unquote, all Jesus did. He just translated God when he was down here. And that's really all God wants us to do, is to translate him as well. And, you know, here's the time when it's a good thing I'm not a pastor, because, like, when a pastor is up here, you know, they kind of have to have a certain air, like they know what they're doing, and they're well, okay, I don't have to know what I'm doing up here, so I'm going to tell you a little story about the breaking of the outward man and the lengths to which God will go, because he wants this so desperately for us, and we'll get into that later, maybe why. If you remember, maybe, I'm not sure everybody was here, I can't remember if it was on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, Pastor Handel brought a message about the taming of the shrew. Does anybody remember that, about the taming of the shrew? Okay. All right. I see a couple of hands going up. Anyway, Pastor Handel, okay, thank goodness that Pastor Handel remembers it. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. I've never read it or anything like that. But basically, the gist of the story is that there was a man named Petruchio, I think. Petruchio, okay. And it was Katerina that he was trying to tame? Catherine, okay, we'll stick with Catherine. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, one of the things that he did in this story was literally to starve this lady. He didn't let her drink. He didn't let her eat. And yet at the other side, he was very, very kind to her, because she was a shrew. You know, what is a shrew? A shrew is like a very aggressive, mean-spirited, nasty witch. That's basically what a shrew is. Well, basically, in my old nature, I'm like a male shrew. You know, I'm like a male shrew. Shrew, whatever it is. I'm this nasty, cantankerous, whatever guy in the flesh. And he starved her. And, you know, some of you, sleep depriving and starvation, whatever it was, well, I don't even know if I should bring this up, but I'm going to, because remember last week Pastor Larry was saying about theodicy, something like that, like somehow God works in incredibly odd ways to get what he wants. Some of you may have noticed that I've lost a little bit of weight over the last few months or whatever. I remember when I came here last week, Leona was in back, and she said, first thing out of her mouth, oh, Mark, you've lost weight. Well, I guess it's probably obvious to most people. When Pastor Handel brought that up, it's like, oh, that's what God has been doing to me. You know, my flesh, you know, Pastor Moore calls our flesh a zombie. My flesh is so strong, it's like this super zombie. It just doesn't need nails in the coffin. It needs these spikes like you drive into the train tracks, like you see these guys in the old days driving these spikes in with these sledgehammers or whatever. And God has just not been able to break me in certain areas that he wants to so that he can pour Christ out like we were talking about. And he literally has been doing that to me. He would starve me in certain ways. He said, you're not having that food. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And literally, I have been losing weight because he has been starving me. And yet, on the other hand, he's been so good to me. I mean, I'm up here in his pulpit. I mean, my goodness, that is such an honor to be here. And he literally did that to me. I can't believe that. And you know, there's sometimes also Pastor Handel also brought a message. Like Pastor Handel is telling me my life. He's like the seer in my life. He brought a message about Elijah, how God would so beautifully bless him. You know, he would use Elijah to call down fire from heaven and wipe out all these prophets of Baal and convert the whole nation. And then later on he'd be eating roadkill, you know, fed to him by ravens. It's like there's this incredible blessing, and then there's this incredible humiliation. You know, and it seems like the same way with me. Sometimes I get up here, and it just seems like I'm so free to just pour out Christ to everybody. And then the other times, there's these little eight-minute messages where it just gets stopped, and it's like, oh, boy. And I walk off here with my tail between my legs. And that's the breaking, the humiliation, and also, you know, the building up. And why does he want to do that? Because one time, and you know, it's like, if we go to the chaplain's harvest party, I don't know about you, but it seemed like everybody has a tendency to pig out, you know. We have this nice, beautiful meal, and then we have all the brownies, and then last time we had all the ice cream after the brownies, and then we had fried dough from Steve, and I came out of there with my stomach like this, because you just, when you don't eat that kind of stuff, all of a sudden when you get this pig out meal, it's just like you go blah, and that's what's happened. And I did that one day, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I was like a glutton, but I'm starving. You know, I literally said to him, I'm starving. And he said to me, Mark, so am I. And what he was saying wasn't about food. He was saying about, one, I'm starving to have you love me back with the same love that I love you with. And two, I'm starving for the lost souls out there. And I said, wow. You know, when you're really, really hungry, I guess you can understand that. It's like you never think about anything else. All you can think about is food. All you can think about is getting satisfaction. And that's the way God is. He is just so hungry for the souls out there. And he is so, so hungry for all of your love, too. Um, And I guess that's really the reason why he wants to have us all become in the spirit, so that there's none of this flesh anymore. You know, because like when the Lord Jesus healed that man in two steps, he healed him once and he said, "What do you see? I see men as trees walking." And that's kind of in our flesh, that's what we see other people. We see them as trees. And then he healed them again. And then he could see them for what they are. We're precious souls. And that's what he wants to take us beyond. Just seeing men as trees walking, he wants to take us way, way beyond that. And I remember one of the things that I have a buddy in Baltimore, Jim Markowski, and the Lord spoke to him one day. And he said, "Mark, I have a divine desperation for souls." And that's what God wants to impart to us, a divine desperation for souls. You know, we hear about the example that Pastor Moore brings many, many times about how Jesus would walk, was it 25 or 50 miles just for one person, one little girl to cast out a demon or to heal, and 50 miles back or whatever it was. That's divine desperation. You know, that's why Dennis and Pastor Dennis and all the people went to Albania. You know, they could have stayed home, but they went all the way over there, how many thousands of miles, because of that divine desperation for souls. And I just... And the only way I guess we're going to know that is to know God. And Bill gave me a beautiful book up from A.W. Tozier. And the two scriptures that it gave out, it was called The Pursuit of God. And the two scriptures that were on the main thing was Psalm 42, verse 1. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." And in verse 2, it says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." In Psalm 63, it says, "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." And why did David pant so much after God? Because God panted after him. We know that we can't give out anything that we have not first received. God is panting after each and every one of us to love him back and to let him love us. And there's one thing that I want to bring out here. This is something that God showed me. And you know, Nick and I and Jock were in the men's fellowship last night. And I just brought this out. And if you just turn with me to Isaiah 52, verse 14, please, if you would. Sometimes you read this verse on Good Friday, but it's always something to keep in mind. It says, "As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." And this is talking about the Lord Jesus right before he went to the cross. He was so beaten, so slapped, so punched, so whipped with a cat of nine tails that he was literally unrecognizable as a human being. His form was more marred than any human being ever. You know, we talked about how when you get whipped, there's this cord with the stones and with the pieces of metal and everything, and it just rips the back off of you, rips your skin away. And he was punched. He had the crown of thorns going into his head, you know, like we talked about last night. Sometimes you see on the cross, you know, the picture of Jesus, and he's got this kind of a pained look on his face and some blood running down maybe a little bit and the beautiful flowing long hair. That's not how it was. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. If he wasn't even recognizable as a man, and yet, that's how it was. That's the reality of it. And I remember God speaking to me, and he said, you know, Mark, you were worth it, though. You were worth it. And last night when Nick and I and Jacques were there, I had a chance just to look both of them in the eye and just say that to them personally. And I wish I could go around. I wish I had the time just to go around to everybody and just say that. And, you know, I'm going to do it to Pastor Moore here. And I'm going to call him David for a minute. And I just want you to know I don't normally do that. I don't even think of him as David. You know, every once in a while, some of the brothers will address him as David. And I just think that's darn disrespectful being a pastor. But I'm just going to go, this is kind of like what God showed me. And it was like if I was Jesus, it would just be like for me to get down before him and say, my son David, all the beatings, all the whippings I took, every single drop of blood that I shed, you were worth it. You were worth it, just you. My son David, were worth it. Why? Because he loves us that much. And I can't fathom that. But every drop of blood, each and every one of you, Bill, Michelle, Deb, Veronica, Ron, Pastor Eric, John, Jeremiah, you, everybody, you were worth it. Can I just say that to you, Jeremiah, too? Every drop of blood that Jesus shed, you were worth it to him. Why? Because we'll all live with him in eternity. And that's something that he wants more than anything else. And he has, and I'm going to just say this to you too, my friend John. When Jesus went to the cross to pay for all your sins so that you could be in heaven with him forever, it was worth it to him to die for you and you alone. Maybe you've heard it said that if you were the only person on this earth, John, he would have died for you because he loves you that much. And he doesn't want you to not be in heaven with him forever. That's just amazing truth, because we think of ourselves as not being a whole lot. Matt, just want to say that to you, buddy. And I'll say that to you too, Bob. That if you were the only two gentlemen on the face of this earth, every drop of blood that I shed, it was worth it. It was worth it because you're going to be with me in glory forever and ever and ever. And that's one thing that I wanted more than anything else. Hallelujah. And that's the heart. And see, that's why he feels that way toward every single person here. I wish I could go look everybody in the eye and just communicate that. And that's what he wants us to do. That's why he wants to bring us into that total domination of the Spirit. Because he feels that way about all the lost souls out there too. And what they need, they do not. And what God wants us to be able to do is not only just communicate the words about the gospel, but it's the soul, his soul behind it. There was this beautiful, Warren Hewlett, did the men's breakfast, or not the men's breakfast, the men's fellowship a couple of weeks ago. It was beautiful because it was like 1 Thessalonians 2:8, I think it says, when Paul said, I didn't just communicate the words of the gospel only, but I communicated my own soul to these people. And that's what Jesus wants us to be able to do. Because it was amazing. I mean, if you've ever sat under Warren, he has such knowledge. He's 82 years old, and Nick can attest to that. I mean, he knows everything about the Old Testament. every person, every date, every everything. And then he starts going into all the stuff he knows about every war and every, you know, this and that happened, every general, every this and that. Then he goes into the baseball. And he knows back in 1942 that this one person hit a fly ball to left field. I mean, it's like the guy's 82 years old. He's got this incredible memory. But, you know, I'm not sure I remember a whole lot about what that lesson was because it was pretty complex. But I know when he communicated that, he communicated his soul. One thing I always remember about that, I took away what was in his soul and just the thankfulness that he had for God. The love that he had for Jesus and his faithfulness in him. You know, he said, he held up his Bible and he said, you know, Mark, this book has never lied to me. That's the kind of faith that he had. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to express it. And he said, Mark, never stop praising him. Never stop praising him. When you think about what Jesus did on the cross, and Nick and I talked about this last night too, if you're having your stinkingest, worst day ever, when everything in the whole world seems to be going wrong, we can praise him. That he took the whippings for us, that he took the crown of thorns for us, that he took the beatings and the everything for us. We can just praise him for that. Never stop praising him and thanking him, even if it's just quote unquote for that one thing, you know. And that's what God wants us to do, just to communicate our very own souls to people. And I know I'm going to just come over and say, Ron, if you were the only guy on earth, Ron, and Jesus went to the cross, you were worth it to him. Because you know what? When we get God's love in us, and you too, Veronica, when we get God's love in us, we can bring them something that no one else can. No one can bring them God's love out there except for us. And I remember just one quick example, because I know we got to close soon. Bea and I and Sue Porcari were out on outreach on Saturday. I think it was Saturday night. And we happened to come upon a homeless man. And we were talking, like, you know, the nuts and bolts, like, you know, maybe you should be going to, like, Schenectady Ministry or something, like Schenectady City Ministry or something, with Mike Saccaccio, who's a wonderful man of God. He runs something like that. And, you know, we talked the nuts and bolts, and she was talking the nuts and bolts, and it was good. It was information, you know, but then I said, you know, we're not really getting anywhere. And I said, I just kind of leaned over to him, and I said, you know, Gary, really the reason why we're here is to let you know how much Jesus loves you. And all of a sudden, the smile came on his face. That's what he really needed to hear. Yeah, he knows about shelters, and he can, you know, he was following this Kabbalah stuff or something like that. I don't even know what that is. But anyway, some kind of false religion type, spirituality type stuff. That's what smiled. Every time I told him that God loved him, and that Jesus paid it all for you, that's when the smile broke out in his face. That's what they need to hear out there. People do not have the right concept of God. You know, Pastor Moore brought some beautiful thing out. He said, we were a nation, on the radio today, he says, we were a nation at one time formed under God, united. We were united. We were a united nation formed under God, and now we're a nation divided over God. They don't have the right concept of God. And that's what we can bring him, the right concept of God. And that's why he wants us to know him and to just love him back and let him love through us, because that's what the world needs, that love, sweet love. And we can bring it as no one else can. Amen? Okay, Father. Oh, wow. Pastor Moore always says when he tries to communicate about the love of God, he didn't think he'd do a very good job. Well, I hope you did, Lord. I know you did. Father, we just ask right now that you would seal this in our hearts and just help us to make ourselves more available to receiving your love so we can just be overflowing with that love and pour it out to others for that lost and dying world that you so love, that you gave your only begotten Son. And I don't know if this message is being recorded, but if there's anyone listening on the internet or anyone here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, He loves you desperately enough to take a brutal, brutal beating and whipping and scourging and crucifixion on your part, because you're worth it to Him. You were worth it to Him. And I just ask Him into your heart. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I know you paid for all my sins. I can see the love behind it now, and I want to be in heaven with you every bit as much as you want me in heaven with you. I just accept you as my Savior. Come into my heart, live within me, make me that child of God, and give me that life in heaven with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.